In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. Welcome to the new year, and we got plenty of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk labor, but we're not going to talk specifics. We're just going to talk general, whether we think we're going to get to the season on time. We're going to talk about the Hall of Fame, especially the spat with David Ortiz and Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, which I love. We're going to talk about females in baseball, because both the Red Sox and Yankees are really at the forefront of getting women involved on field level operations, and then we'll finish on Montreal as a destination in baseball, and why people
want to go back to Montreal.
I think baseball made a mistake. I understand the precedent of splitting cities, but I actually think it would have been really fun.
It's not just for 18-year-olds who want to drink again.
Well, yeah, it could be for 50-year-olds who want to drink again. We'll get to that later. This is episode 61. Let's start with labor. We're not going to talk about details about proposals and contra-proposals. What I do want to ask quite simply, do you think, not forget about pitchers and catchers, do you think the season will start on time?
I don't think so at this point, because it has to be done, like, I would think within another week. Whatever they have to figure out would have to be
done
within
a week. You think it's that short a window?
I would think so, because, listen, this is a week from today is basically the end of the month. A week is basically, we're coming up on a new month. So,
right.
You know, pitchers and catchers are in the middle of February. Then,
how much can you shorten spring training? And because I know they worry about injuries. They got to build up arm strength. I mean,
I don't think it's such a big deal anymore, because these guys train all season long. I don't think it's so much of a conditioning issue. I think it's more of just like, who do you think your team's going to be issue? You know, because listen, a normal spring training for teams unlike the Yankees or the Red Sox, who have almost everybody penciled in, guys can make teams and cannot make teams, right?
Right. So you could start March 1st to spring training. You could start March 15th. Probably not.
No, I think you could do it March 1st and get a basically a month, because I think the season starts pretty early this year.
I think it actually starts in March for many teams.
Yeah, it's like the 26th or 27th. So I would think March 1st, it would be the latest you could do it. Listen, they can make anything work, but listen, if you start waiting any longer, they're going to start complaining about that. The players will say, we don't have enough time, and the owners say, yes, you do.
They want to prevent injuries. So basically, you are not optimistic that the season will start on time.
I feel like if it was going to start on time, as we sit now, there would be more of a congenial atmosphere between the two. They would have been talking more. Like, they don't even they don't even really see like they're talking much. They say they're going to have proposals back and forth, but you don't really hear much about
it. No, I mean, it's all... I mean, here's the thing that is tough, and we've mentioned it before, and I'm not breaking news. When you have the situation where nobody looks like they're getting really a raw deal, the only people that really get a raw deal are minor leaguers and rookie contract people. Because I think that if you're in the majors, you should get paid a little more than what that base is. I think that's really fair.
Well, the base is what, like $500,000 now?
Yeah, but then when you have the top end, it's like $40 million. I get it. I think the base should be higher.
I don't think so much of major leaguers. $500,000, dude, is a lot of money, right? After you're going to get your percentage, your whatever, you're eating lobster every day, you're living the life, you're getting a per diem on top of that.
Care.
It's the minor leaguers, the guys who are living
But that's not even on the table right now. So
eating
it's not
juicy
even,
fruit for dinner.
It's not even worth the conversation, because they're not even on the table. I'm just saying,
So do they really care about them? Then?
No, they don't.
Exactly. I mean,
no,
so then what are we talking about?
Millionaires
and billionaires.
Right, but my point is that I understand why the minimum salary could be higher, but other than that, the point is nobody feels bad for any of this. So I don't
feel bad for anybody making $500,000.
And so it's so stupid. Well, we I don't feel bad for them. I just don't think it's the value.
Well, listen, look
there.
At it this way. So if I'm going to start a job when I'm 20 years old out of college, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm an accounting assistant, right? And the CFO is making $1 million a year. Now, I've worked in this job for 6 months, all right? I'm great at what I do. I'm awesome. Everyone tells me I'm great. I should be making $1 million a year?
No, but listen, when I went to CNBC from NBC Connecticut, I made the lowest rung, but it wasn't 5% of what the highest paid person was. So I just don't agree with you here. I think that I don't feel bad for anyone making $500,000, but at the same time, you're in the bigs with billion-dollar TV contracts, and the top end people make $40 million.
But I think you can make more than five. To make that money.
Whatever, John. I just don't agree with you. I think that they should get more than $500,000. And so, but it gets away from my ultimate point, which was that's the only thing that I have some empathy for. Everything else is just garbage, and it just hurts the game. And it's already too expensive to go if you're a Red Sox or a Yankee fan based on their ticket prices. And it's only gonna hurt popularity when football, just based on my children, I know you have a baseball household, but I will tell you, football and basketball, even hockey, my kids, you know, my oldest son loves baseball, but generally speaking, football's cleaning the clock of every sport on the planet.
Yeah, and baseball's not doing a good job of marketing themselves right now. They're not doing themselves.
Well, the game
favors.
Isn't fun to watch. So, I mean, forget about the money. The product itself is the issue. So, the bottom line is you gave a take. You don't think it's going to start on time. And I'm saying that that's horrible for everybody. And then they're just going to pass on more of the cost to us. So, I just think the more I read about it, the more I think about it, the more I just think both parties are at fault. I probably side with the players a touch more than the owners, but I think that's generally how people feel anyway, because they're against sort of that billion-dollar set.
So you follow it more than I do. You read more about it. And you're telling me that the minor leaguers, who everyone's complaining about, that the teams are going to pay for their housing now, whatever that means, right? Supposedly MLB is going to pay for their housing. I mean, well, we all know where that can lead.
They're going to get housing.
You've seen Olympic housing, right?
No, they're going to get like stipend type thing, or some teams will provide their own housing, but it's more than they had. But I mean, the bottom line is
on paper, it's more than they had.
They're seasonal employees, and they can get moved around. They have no rights, and there's a good chance they never make the majors.
Oh, there's a huge chance they never make the majors.
So when you have revenues and profits the way they have in Major League Baseball, I think it is a travesty that these people can hardly get by and not eat mac and cheese out of
right,
a box.
Regardless of what they say, and I mean, they are a part of the puzzle, right? Without
them, they're not. Put it this way, John, they're not going to decide whether to report for spring training or not based on any minor league stuff.
No, but so you're not going to have the Hartford Yard Goats without eight players that basically are never going to make the major leagues.
What's your point?
You still need these guys.
Yeah, but again, it's a waste of our time to talk about it because it's not a part of the labor discussion.
Well, it should be.
Right, but I mean, the thing is, like, are they underpaid? Are they under? Sure, but I mean, it's
not. They don't care. Just like corporations don't give a crap about the little man.
Of course. Let's go to the Hall of Fame because that's a little more fun to talk about. You know, the bottom line is that we'll talk about David Ortiz and his viability, whether you think he's in. But I love the fact that Dan Shaughnessy, it's been a big thing in the last few years for writers to come out or voters to come out with who they voted for in the Hall of Fame. And Dan Shaughnessy comes out. He's a longtime Boston Globe columnist. I'll say I don't think he's the nicest guy in the world, but I do think he's a legendary columnist and a great journalist. He votes for Jeff Kent and Jeff Kent only. Doesn't vote for a lot of people, but especially, clearly, not David Ortiz, who
he
covered for years.
Have a reasoning behind only Jeff Kent? It wasn't the motorcycle.
I think it's probably just that Jeff Kent, he thinks, the only one who's clean from PEDs.
Really? Jeff Kent, who played with Barry Bonds, is the only one that's clean from PEDs.
I'm not saying, I mean, that's the only reason I can think of that he voted for.
Extremely hard to believe. I just think, like, if that's his logic behind it.
No, that's my assumption. I don't even know. But the bottom line is so basically on our sister station, WEI in Boston, they had Ortiz on and asked him about Shaughnessy leaving him off the ballot. Here's what he had to say.
You know, Dan Shaughnessy has been an to everybody. So what can I tell you? I mean, it's not a surprise for me. It's not a surprise for y'all. He got no damn power, bro. You know that. He just got the power of the pen to write whatever he believe on. But everybody know that he's an what else can you do?
What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, listen, Ortiz always speaks his mind. We know that after the marathon bombings, parents, right, and all that. You get what you get with David Ortiz, you know? If you're the mistaken man at a bar, you know, who knows exactly what... You're going to get what you get with him, right? So he speaks his mind, but it sounds like these two, from what I've read, have had a nice colored past. They aren't the favorites of anyone. But again, Shaughnessy has come out and said that he's not going to vote to anyone connected to the PEDs in any way. Now, regardless of how you feel about it, if you're not supposed to know that David Ortiz was in the Mitchell report along with other guys, he's tainted.
But never tested positive.
Never tested positive in the realm of public, right? Accordingly, according to that, he did test positive.
Do you think that he would, but he knows, okay, but even if that's
without
the case,
Mitchell report, he's in.
And subsequent to that, there was, I mean, he got tested between 2002 or three and whatever. He passed many, many tests without getting a negative, but you think he could have tested positive and the league sat on that? Is that what you're implying?
After the Mitchell report? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that would be something that the league would be really stupid to do, but then again, Major League Baseball isn't exactly, you know, that.
So do you think he gets in and do you think he deserves it?
I'm from the old school, I guess, of the whole PED thing. I mean, I guess anyone of that generation's under scrutiny. I don't think he's trending like 80-something percent.
Right, he's trending like he's going to make it. We don't know if that's
the
way
say what?
The
drop-off is usually 7 to 10% once everything's calculated.
Oh,
which,
is that what it
which
is?
Puts him really close to that 75. Listen, I think I said it to my kids in their car the other day. Steroids does not help you hit a fastball, dude. It doesn't help you hit a breaking ball. It doesn't help you
get out of the park, though.
It doesn't help you hit in the ninth inning off of Mariano Rivera.
Get out of the park.
It makes you a little bit stronger to not fist that ball into right field, but to get it over the fence. But listen, you still got to hit the ball. Jose Canseco, tons of talent. Mark McGwire, tons of talent, right? What pisses me off is a lot of these guys are just totally shunned, while guys like McGwire are still in Major League Baseball. Canseco is just totally wiped clean of the slate. Sosa won't be let back into Chicago. Like, these guys are shunned, but then, like, Mark McGwire is still coaching.
But he admitted it.
He kind of admitted it.
Well, he basically admitted it. I think that's the difference.
He took the right way in front of Congress. He played stupid instead of playing hard.
But I think he's...
So he got rewarded for it.
I think he's admitted that he did. And I think that's the key. You know, Palmeiro, who lied.
If David Ortiz gets in, I think that sets a precedence for all these other PED guys. Now, granted, Bonds, Clemens, and Sosa, these are the last
rips. I don't think so, because he would... The stories... I mean, you actually got a narrative.
Bonds never got
you got caught. With Roger Clemens, there's a narrative. There's a trainer who said, put the shot in his
Clemens
ass.
Clemens shot himself in the foot, dude. Like,
but
he
either way,
himself.
My point is that with Ortiz, there's no narrative. There's one name on one report, never an official positive test, and nobody's come out and said, I got these for him, I did this with him. Nobody.
That's
so
true.
It's different. I don't know about the precedent. I mean, to me, it's more interesting. The DH side of it is just as interesting to me as
Well, I think Edgar
anything.
Martinez saw
I know,
that.
But even still, sure. But I think that the debate's going to be, if he gets in... Bonds and Clemens don't, because Bonds and Clemens talent wise are no brainers.
Absolutely.
I mean,
so is A-Rod.
Yeah, I mean A-Rod. If you think about it,
but
of
A-Rod's
course,
got way too much.
But it's
baggage.
Really difficult. People can say all the time that before they started taking, Clemens and Bonds were Hall of Famers. The bottom line is that there's no way to know, and that's an unknown that even I don't accept. So you don't know what their careers would have looked like had they been clean. Like, I'm old school in the sense that, like, I know people have been cheating forever, and I know that there's a double standard. Like, somehow the taking speed in the 70s was okay, but taking steroids in the 80s and 90s was not. I don't know where to draw the line, but I don't agree with you. I do agree that hitting a baseball is not helped by steroids, but there were guys in the minors and so on who made the calculations. If you can, the difference between hitting 10 and 20 home runs in the bigs is millions.
Oh, absolutely. But also look at Bonds and Clemens. They did all their best work at like 40 years old. So that goes to show you right there.
Right, but
I mean,
my point is...
He did 72 home runs when he was like 39 or something.
Right, but you don't know what their careers would have looked like had they never done it.
Yeah.
So they might have like ended because of injury sooner, or maybe they started sooner than we knew. Like, there's a lot of variables there that I don't think
I would imagine
they were
doing it like... I don't think it was so much the steroids. It was when they started getting the synthetic crap, whatever you want to call it, PEDs now, you know.
Well, steroids are PEDs.
Right, but it's not like your traditional Lyle Alzado steroids that we were talking about.
Right,
where they're like, Stazanol and stuff, whatever it is, where your nuts are shrinking in 20 seconds, how they said. Right? So it's more of a designer drug where if you read on like the A-Rod and stuff, it was like specific cycles and all that crap.
So do you think he should get in?
Ortiz,
yes.
Based on the numbers, yes, but I really think that
do you think
he, thing
no,
is going
to... Does he deserve it, in your opinion?
World Series, clutch hitter, numbers, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I mean...
Clemens and Bonds should be in too?
What's that?
You think Clemens and Bonds should be in too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they should. I mean, the talent's there. I mean, the numbers don't lie, but again, like... I don't see you getting over those humps, dude. I think Ortiz, like you said, is the one guy that might be able to do it because there's really no There's not, the fire is, there's a little bit of smoke. You know, like they put the fire out a long time ago.
Right.
And there's that little bit of embers where everybody else, you know, Bonds has got the whole, you know, A-Rod was Balco, right? And then Clemens went on the offensive and just went nuts. Like he basically said, I don't give a crap about the Hall of Fame. He came right out and said it. So right there, it's basically like, all right, good. We'll put you on the back page then.
All right, listen, John Senecal, Brian Shackman, episode 61 of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. A couple quick topics. The Yankees made a lot of news by naming a manager in the minors who's a female.
Tampa Terrapins, yep.
Yeah, and so, and the Red Sox, I think, have two active coaches who are women. And, it's one of those things where I think it's great. I think the sports that are easiest, you know, to have women coaches at the pro level. I think basketball, because the game is essentially the same for both.
Yep.
I think hockey is there hasn't been as many, but I think there should be because the game isn't too far off outside of the contact. Football and baseball, I mean, listen, there are women baseball players together. There are women in Australia who's throwing in the, the high 80s. And
yeah, if you read her story, man, she's crazy talented. But she's throwing like 75 as a 12-year-old.
She's 17 and she's 6'2".
Yeah.
But in general, you know, there aren't a lot of women playing high-level baseball,
no.
Right? If she comes to the U.S.
I would think she's the highest.
If she goes and plays Division I baseball, I think it changes the game for good. But my point is, like, football and baseball, it's a little bit more difficult because they don't play the same game most often,
right?
But with data in baseball, I think it becomes easier for women because it's not just about, this guy Dave Jouse, who played baseball at Amherst College, they say he never got a major league managerial position because he never played pro ball.
Right.
He just played college ball.
Or you can't hit 30 home runs.
But he got, you know, bench coach, third base coach. And so, but it seems that kind of dynamic, it'll be interesting because I don't know about a major league manager job, because right now the trend is take a former player who's young and can relate.
Right.
And so that doesn't fit the model for a female to be a manager at the major league level. So I don't see that happening anytime soon, but I do think both organizations need to be lauded for doing this.
Yeah, well, with the Yankees, you know, with Rachel Balcovich.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't. She has a few different pronunciations of her last name. But anyways, you know, that's like the way everyone's going now. With, you know, she's deep into the sports sciences, the movement, the body, kinesiology, all that stuff.
Right.
So, you know, she's, I guess, on that end, the numbers person, as far as, you know, how to recognize, like, what's wrong with your body, your swinging and all that. Because she was the hitting coach at the complex down there for a couple of years.
Right.
She worked with the Astros. She worked with the Cardinals. So she's, you know, she's definitely well-traveled, and she's got the pedigree. She's got multiple master's degrees. So, you know, it's not like, you know, when you read her story, it's not like she just showed up and got the job because she's a woman.
Right. And baseball, I think you can have, like, there's not a ton of time spent in the locker room by the managers. There are so many different coaches that it really is a managerial. It's less coach than it is managing.
Right. It's not like Bull Durham where there's two guys running the team anymore.
Right. But even like I'm saying baseball compared to other sports where you got a, you know, coach who's coaching all the time and he's the guy or the woman. Whereas in baseball, there's several people. They're not necessarily doing direct one-on-one stuff constantly, although there's a lot of it. So I think that there's a lot of potential there. I just think with the major league level, I think it's going to take a lot of time. But we're not, you know, I think basketball will have a women's NBA head coach before any other sport. A, the league is more progressive. B, the game is essentially the same.
Right.
And C, they're years ahead of all the other leagues. But it was worth reporting. The last thing I want to get to, I really wanted to talk about with you, John, is this decision by baseball not to allow Tampa to split their schedules in Montreal. And I guess I sort of understand the precedent because, you know, every team that's struggling with attendance can't find a sister city.
Do you think it has anything to do with the COVID? Now, they don't want to deal with all that BS going into the season where can't get
COVID,
across the border and all that?
I don't know. COVID is...
But think of it. It's got away in the mind. Like,
I don't know, but isn't that a short-term thing? I think COVID will be around for a long time, but
a short-term thing?
No, but like, is that like, if you think of the game
how,
in general.
How it started and how it's going.
No, but I mean, baseball's around 150 years and we're dealing with something that who knows.
No, I know, but I'm just saying the whole border thing, you know?
I don't think so.
Because they don't want to wind up back in...
But ultimately, it brings me back to this fundamental point. First of all, I would have loved it. And I would have gone, I would have tried to plan a trip with buddies to go to Montreal to see a game. I would have done it.
I just don't understand why all of a sudden Montreal has to have a Major League Baseball team again. Like, what is the love of all of a sudden? I mean, they left, right? And they went to D.C.
Right, so, but the bottom line is, like, D.C. lost their baseball team because it wasn't supported, and they're pretty well supported now. It's like things change, right? If you put a basketball team in Seattle now, I bet it would do great. You know, the point is, like, things change. People understand how valuable it is to have a franchise.
Like 99 or something like that?
I don't remember the year.
Because they were still in Montreal in like 95 during the strike.
I don't think there's a big strength of an argument to get them there full time in Montreal. So I don't think that's going to happen. But ultimately,
I think they don't wind up either place eventually. I mean, you're not going to stay in Tampa. If your solution to save your franchise is to move half your games to Montreal, you got to start looking at another.
No, you're 100% correct. And that's what they'll do. And they'll move. But like, I think it's unfortunate that Jeter owns the Marlins and that they build a new park, because I think that they're. Should be no Major League Baseball in Florida.
No, and it sounds. I think Nashville is the next place where people are going
to. Charlotte,
Charlotte and Nashville. I would think Nashville. There's a huge push there. It's a very, you know.
What about Vegas?
City.
You think Oakland will move there? I guess they might move there.
I mean, Vegas. You can always put Vegas in the conversation for everything, right? And if Oakland can strive there, well, Oakland. You know what I mean? The Raiders.
Yeah.
If they can make it there. You know, but again, baseball, it's baseball and football are totally different. Baseball, you got way more games. You got to put fans there all the time. And I don't think you're going to get comp tickets at the Luxor and go over and watch a baseball game.
It's summertime. You know what I mean? I know. It's going to be really hot.
I think Nashville's your logical choice.
That sounds good. Any final thoughts here, bud?
No, I got to have some baseball, and hopefully these guys can get their act together and get cracking.
You sound sad.
I do. You know what? I mean, I have found a new love of watching football. Like, I've never really been a huge football guy. I was always like the person that like.
Are you a Bills fan?
I've liked the Bills because I went to school in Western New York.
That's why your team's doing well. So that's why.
Well, I mean, if the Bills didn't, make the playoffs, there wouldn't be one ounce of second where I'd be like, oh my God, this isn't going to work for me. You know what I mean? I could care less. Who wins the Super Bowl? I could care less.
Right.
So, but. I went to school in Western New York. I got family out there. I've always liked the Bills, right? I come here. Tons of friends are all Patriots fans. So you kind of gravitate towards that. You follow Tom Brady or whatever. But there's never been a huge allegiance. But that being said, NFL Red Zone is like the best thing ever invented.
So it's funny. We can have this conversation in episode 62 because my kids, that's all they watch is Red Zone.
It's amazing.
But and it is amazing, but the problem is it's like a drug. And I like to watch a game. My kids don't watch, and it's the YouTube.
Yeah.
It's the YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat
quick
culture where they don't, they're entertained the entire time and they blink and it's 4.5 hours later. And the reason I don't like it is like, I like to see the ebb and flow of a game's momentum. Now,
Listen,
when Red Zone's on, I literally won't get out of my chair for like, couple
hours. Addicting, dude.
Yes, but the thing is, I think the kids are missing out on the rhythm, albeit slower, of an actual game from beginning to end. My kids don't know what to do because that's why I like the playoffs, because you can't go to the red zone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that being said, now my kids want to watch the playoffs more now because of the red zone. I think like they got excited to watch that red zone. You know, it's like crack.
Yeah. All right, listen, good stuff. Always listen. Look at us on YouTube. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcast. Obviously, odyssey.com is the best place to go. Like it, share it, love it. We'll talk to you soon.